Here's the editor of Lenswork Publishing, Brooks Jensen.
Today I want to talk about a certain kind of experience that I have when I'm looking at photographs, and I know lots of us could share this story because this is not an unusual feeling when we look at a photograph. Sometimes we look at a photograph and we kind of just bounce off of it. There's not much there, doesn't connect with us, we move on. But every once in a while, we find a photograph that just pulls us in. There's an irresistibility to them and an immersion. I think of it as being immersed in the world of a photograph. And I can maybe begin the conversation by confessing that the photography I tend to love the best is when I find myself immersed in the world of the photograph rather than just shown an instant in time, which of course is what photography does incredibly well. It shows us, it captures, it freezes the moment. And for lots and lots of photographers, that's the goal, that's the objective, that's the measure of success of a photograph, is how it captures the instantaneous world and also the instantaneous emotion and shares it with the world beyond just the photographer's response themselves. But like I say, I love those photographs where I sort of get immersed. It's almost as though I leave everyday experience. I don't want this to sound cosmic, but it's the only way I can describe it, is I leave everyday experience and I become engaged in a fantasy world, a fictional world, another world, a different world than the world that I live in. The same thing happens when we watch a movie, when we read a book that really engages us. We can get pulled in. And there's something magic that happens when we get pulled in. I think of that photograph by Josef Sudek, looking out of his rainy kitchen window. If you're not familiar with it, look it up on the internet. It's a fabulous image. Matter of fact, he did a number of them, so it doesn't make any difference which one you pull up. It's the same idea that the image immerses me in his life, in his surroundings, in the place he lives, in his mood. And suddenly I'm no longer wherever I am, but I'm with Sudek, looking out that rainy kitchen window. He does more in that image than just show me the view outside his kitchen window. There is in that single view something about his existence, about his life, about his relationship with the place he lives, as well as his relationship with photography. Now, kind of at the opposite end of the spectrum, think of Jerry Yulsman's fanciful worlds that are nonetheless believable. You look at a Jerry Yulsman photograph, and you know it's a composite image. You know it's not a straight photograph, but it is a world that he's made, a world that comes from Yulsman's imagination. It pulls us into his world, and suddenly, even though we know intellectually that his images are impossible, they become believable because we've entered a world in which such scenes are believable. Which brings me to the primary topic of the day, and that is the world of a photograph. That's the challenge of being an art maker, is to create a world and then populate it so that it's believable, so that the reader gets pulled into your fanciful world. Do you remember the Griffin and Sabine series of books by Nick Bantock? If you do, think of the world that he created with that series of books that just pulls you into a story you know he's writing, you know it's fiction, but it seems real. You can let go for a short moment and jump out of reality and into the world of Griffin and Sabine. This is essentially what the proscenium arch does in plays and dramas on stage, is we know that the actors are acting. We know that Hamlet doesn't actually kill Polonius. That is to say, the actor playing Hamlet doesn't actually kill the actor playing Polonius. But nonetheless, that's the challenge of their art, is to make us believe that on stage that Hamlet kills Polonius, and our enjoyment of the play is tied to how believable that is. Said another way, how willing we are as audience to let go of the fact that this is fictional drama and we know that as soon as the play is over, all the actors are going to have a glass of wine behind the scenes and say, performance well done. That's the same kind of thing that can happen with photography. In the world of art, I could probably go on ad infinitum with examples, but the purpose of bringing this up is to perhaps give you a new framework to view your own images. Let me ask this question. Do your photographs introduce us to a thing, some subject that you've found fascinating? Could be as simple as a rock or a tree or a scene or something highly unusual with beautiful light. The thing, is your photograph about a thing or is it a photograph about a moment, that instant in time that you've captured because this moment is more interesting, more memorable, more sacred than all the other moments of life? Or do your photographs introduce us to a world in which there are lots of possibilities? Every fiction writer knows these are the three steps that have to be accomplished in order to make a successful piece of fiction. You have to bring the world to life, you have to bring the characters to life, and then you have to bring the predicaments to life, the conflicts that the characters work out in the passage of time. Think of Lord of the Rings, the movie, or the book. Tolkien as the writer and Jackson as the director of the movies create a world that we can immerse ourselves in. And we can do so thoroughly that even though the movies are 4 hours long, we get lost in them. And if they're successful, we're not aware of the fiction, we're just aware of the story, of the characters, of the conflicts and how they're resolved. That seems to me to be a goal that we photographers can also have for our work. I picked one at random because I think it was done particularly well, and I could pick so many from Len's work that would satisfy the illustration of this point. But I'd like you to look back at lens work number 164 at a project called Remembering Ruth by Justin Hayden. Ruth was an elderly family member. I think it was his grandmother, might have been his aunt. Doesn't make any difference. The point is, his images pull us into her world. They aren't just pictures of her, they're pictures of her world. So the first thing he's accomplished in this project is he's introduced us to a world, a place, and then some characters, and then some action. Matter of fact, this project is about her eventual passing, and the last image in the project is of her headstone. So it's the passage of time. We don't just see things or people. We feel that we're in his photograph. It's like we're standing right next to him, and that we get to know her a little bit through her relationships, through her actions, through her posture, through her smile. And even though it's Justin Hayden's relative, we can remember her as a result of this project. That's what I mean by being immersed in the world of a photograph. This is an interesting challenge. It's a different way to look at your work. Like I say, a new framework to view your own images. But one thing of importance, I think, to note is how much easier this is to accomplish with a group of photographs than it is with a single photograph. A single photograph, standalone, Madden framed, hanging on the wall or whatever, a single photograph tends to be about a thing or a moment. And we know intuitively that that thing or that moment exists in time, in a world somewhere. Either an imaginary one or a real one that perhaps was photographed some time ago, so it's passed in time, but it was at one point a real world. So we know that intellectually, intuitively, that it exists in a world. But to feel like you're immersed in the world is a different sort of thing, and that usually takes more than one image. It might be helped along with a little text, maybe not, maybe a photo caption, maybe not. But the point is, when the viewer feels immersed in the world that you've created or captured, it becomes much more engaging, much more textural, much more sensual, much more memorable, because they feel like they've visited some place, and like the people in the theater, that you've seen some sort of bit of life captured by the artwork. So again, I ask, do your photographs introduce us to a thing, a moment, or a world? And all three are possible, but all three not necessarily completely intertwined. We can see a picture of a thing without it being a moment. We can see a picture of a moment without it being a world. But we can't go in the other direction. Well, maybe there are exceptions, but off the top of my head, you can't create a world in a project without somehow involving a moment or a thing. Which reminds me of a bit of advice that Stephen King, the horror writer, offers in his book called On Writing, which is a fascinating book, by the way. Even though he's talking about writing, it has so much to do with those of us who are photographers. He suggested that one of the ways to jumpstart the writing process is to dream up some characters and put them somewhere and then just sort of stand back and watch them interact. And that's a method for writing a short story or something. Now think about what he said. And think about that advice compared to what I'm suggesting. What does the novelist do? He brings the world to life, brings the characters to life, brings the predicament to life, and that becomes the basis of the story or the movie or whatever. Same thing with our photographs. Can we bring the world to life, the characters or subjects to life, the conflict or the predicament to life? A thing, a moment, a world. Now, of course, not all photography is going to fit into this little framework, that's for sure. Sometimes a beautiful picture just needs to be a beautiful picture. But it's still a world that we immerse ourselves in if we connect with that beautiful picture. And if you look back at those images of yours that you've created that are successful, I would be willing to bet that the vast majority of them are successful because they bring us a thing, a moment, and a world. And that the best and strongest photographs you have include all three, a thing, a moment, and a world. Because those are the elements that are necessary for us to be immersed in the world of your photograph. If we look at a photograph and we just bounce off of it without any engagement, without any connection to it, that doesn't mean that it's a bad photograph. It may mean that for whatever reason we weren't open as viewers to allow ourselves to be immersed. So if a photograph fails, that doesn't necessarily say everything about the photograph. It might also say something about the viewer. But there's no question, at least in my experience, that when a photograph introduces us to a thing, a moment, and a world, that the engagement is much easier and much more captivating and much more connective. And I think the approach, photographically speaking, is every time we find a thing that we want to photograph, to try to resist the idea of photographing a thing in solitary confinement, but rather photographing the thing in a moment of time, so that it takes that first step in terms of building a world. In landscape photography, think about the weather that helps you establish a moment in time. In portrait photography, think about an expression that helps you establish a moment in time, not just what someone looks like. And then ask yourself if this might deserve a multiple image presentation that allows you to create and expand a world beyond what the subject looks like in that moment in time. Essentially, by creating the world, you're expanding that moment of time to be more than an instant. And in that regard, time becomes one of the more interesting tools we can play with in our photographic process. And I'm not just talking about shutter speed time, I'm talking about the time of the event that we're seeing in the project. The bottom line is, it's almost impossible to be immersed in the world of a photograph and not connect with it strongly. There's not much we can do with the advice, make photographs that connect strongly. But there is something we can do if we keep this framework of thing, moment, and world in mind as we're working on our projects.
Copyright 2026, Lenswork Publishing.